prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just a little reminder, if you ever want to reach me, there's two ways to do that. You could either email me at onair@superhumanradio.com, or you can go to the Superhuman Radio hotline and leave me a message. And the phone number there is 206-222-2218. Also, we have plenty of extra large Superhuman Radio Live Stronger, Live Longer t-shirts back in stock. We were back ordered on some of those. Some of you were waiting patiently for them. We do have them again. Extra large seems to be the most popular size, in my audience at least. And so if you were waiting to hear about that, or if you were waiting for an extra large shirt to be shipped, they're all being shipped as we speak, and you will be in receipt of them shortly. They'll be shipped priority. You should have them in 2 to 3 days. And again, check out superhumanradio.com and check out the Superhuman Radio Live Stronger, Live Longer t-shirt. I think you'll enjoy it. It will make you look better and show your support of the show. Okay. A lot of us go to the gym and we obsess. You know, we want to do our workout and we don't want to waste our time. We want to have some changes occur in our body, whether that be bigger muscles through hypertrophy or greater strength through, you know, central nervous system and peripheral nervous system adaptation and muscle growth, obviously. But, you know, we get confused, you know, is should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? And one of the big bastions of confusion tends to be the number of sets. There were some out there who subscribe to the high-intensity type protocols, and they espouse one set of an exercise to complete muscular failure. And there are others out there who will do multiple sets on and on and on. So we've always wanted to know what's the magic in the number of sets that you want to do in order to achieve the greatest results. My guest today is Jim Krieger. He writes for Journal of Pure Power, and he took it upon himself to do a meta-analysis of the research out there. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing good.
And you've attempted to extrapolate from quite a few studies. Over what period of time were these studies published originally?
The vast majority of the studies were probably published within the last 10 to 20 years. I mean, I went back as far as 1960 to try to dig up studies, but the studies that were, you know, I had pretty strict inclusion criteria, and most of the studies done back then just didn't fit my criteria. So,
now, out of curiosity, why one of the inclusion criteria was that they had to be in English, originally authored in English. Was that because you were afraid that something in translation could have been misconstrued, or...
Mainly, that was just more of a practical limitation on my end. It's very difficult to get foreign language papers, and then the issue that you bring up too, you know, the issue of the paper, you know, something being
translatability. Yeah, because you know, quite often I've read studies that were originally published, let's say, in Russian.
Yeah.
And the translatability, quite often, some of the translations can be easily misunderstood or opposite of what the author intended them to mean because of the trying to translate some of the colloquial terms from one language to another. So I could also see that as being a potential barrier. And obviously the time, you'd have to first translate them all before you could even include them. So.
Yeah. You know, it's not that uncommon for meta-analyses published in English language journals just to go with English language studies just because of all the hurdles that come along with trying to include foreign language studies in a meta-analysis. So,
now, the goal of yours was its effect on strength, correct?
Yes.
Not hypertrophy.
No. I had the thoughts of doing hypertrophy. The challenge in doing a meta-analysis on hypertrophy is there are so many different ways that you can measure hypertrophy that it makes it a challenge to actually do a good meta-analysis on it because, you know, some studies might measure circumference, some studies might actual measure fiber size.
Right,
Right. And so there's a really big challenge in trying to do a meta-analysis on hypertrophy.
Okay. Did you happen to, and as we get into the design of the study and so on, did you happen to make some extrapolations even mentally just as you were working through these and see any reference to hypertrophy in the research that you were doing?
Some of the papers that I included in the study actually did look at muscle size as well as strength. But, you know, I was just keeping the focus of the paper pretty tight, so I didn't really take a close look at that data. Again, though, I had thoughts of wanting to do a hypertrophy meta-analysis, and when I kind of got into it, I was like, wow, it got pretty messy when I started to kind of work on it. So I kind of, you know, I may try to do something like that again, but again, there's just so many challenges.
Yeah, you'd have to choose what you were going to use as your testing baseline. I would have to go, with a biopsy personally to look at fiber size.
Yeah, at fiber size, and that's the thing, and not all studies do that. You know,
right,
that's the challenge. So,
you know, when I found out what that meant, you know, I never really, when I started to interview some of these scientists that performed those studies, and I found that they actually use a syringe to do that, and it's kind of like when they go to the North Pole or Antarctica, and they do that core drilling where they go all the way down in the ice and they pull a core out that, you know, that is, you know, 150, 200 feet down to see what life was like 100 years ago. That's kind of like what they do when they biopsy, let's say, a quadricep muscle after an exercise routine, huh?
Oh, yeah. And you know, one of the challenges with biopsy studies, too, is, for example, let's say you're doing a study on muscle damage. Well, the biopsy procedure itself can cause some muscle damage. So
yeah.
It's a very challenging procedure to do. I've never had it done to me, and I've never done it in any of the research I've done. But I've, you know, my old major professor told me that she had it done, and she says, you know, when it's done to you, it's not really painful, but it feels like an intense pinching. But that's, you know, and they actually do it with suction, so they go in there and they're actually kind of sucking out a small piece of muscle tissue.
Ew. Yeah, and I always wondered how it's got to be difficult to recruit college students, because it's usually college students that they recruit for those types of studies, and it's got to be difficult to get these kids in that when they say, now we're going to be doing a biopsy and here's how we do it. I just can't imagine submitting myself to that personally.
Oh, and that's usually why you pay your subjects, usually, you know, unless it's you know, some of these studies may actually just get students from, you know, let's say the exercise science department, you know, that may be subjects, you know. That, I mean, and that's the other reason why a lot of these studies have such small subject numbers, because they, you know, it's hard to recruit enough people. But usually, you know, if you're going to subject you're going to put your subjects through that, yeah, usually pay them. I mean, I have a study published in Journal of Applied Physiology back in 2004, and that was like an overtraining study, and it was on runners, and we really just killed these runners. I mean, we trained them twice a day and doing interval training twice a day, but we had to pay them. I mean, and I don't feel like we paid them enough for what we put them through.
Right.
But I admire, you know, what my subjects went through for that study.
In the name of science, you know?
In the name of science, yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine that, and we'll get off this here because we're going to go into a break here in just a minute, but I would imagine that being part of a study would be exciting to me as long as it did not include a muscle biopsy. I would love to be involved in a study in age management, longevity study, or even a strength study for older adults like myself. I'm 51 years old. I would love to be involved in those kind of studies, but if they told me, and we're going to need a muscle biopsy, now that I know what that is, I would say, and I'm not afraid of needles because, you know, I'm on hormone replacement therapy and I inject twice a week, and I'm not afraid of needles, but the idea of, you know, after working out and your muscles are generally sore and now they're going to stick this needle in your leg and suck some fibers out, it's like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to do that. But anyway, all right, look, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll get into the design of your study and what you learned. Everybody wants to know, how many sets should I perform in order to maximize my efforts without going overboard and doing too much? And Jim attempted to extrapolate that for my audience today. So stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Oh! No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com. I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0 plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success. Tune into the Superhuman Channel 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and listen to classic episodes of Superhuman Radio. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Listen Now button.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Don't forget to enter to win $200 worth of free product from uswellnessmeats.com. Remember, the grass-fed beef from uswellnessmeats.com has the same omega-3 to omega-6 ratio as fish. Go to superhumanradio.com and look for the entry form right on the homepage to enter to win $200 worth of free product. And you can use that $200 to get grass-fed beef, grass-fed bison. They've got free-range chicken, rabbit, goat, lamb. They have humanely raised pork. I mean, they've got a host of products there, so you don't just have to use it for beef. But check it out, $200 worth of free product. The winner will be announced on the air in 6 weeks. Take a chance. Who knows? You could be eating some grass-fed beef real fast. My guest today is Jim Krieger from Journal of Pure Power. That's jopp.us if you want to visit their website, jopp.us. So, Jim, let's talk about this meta-analysis that you did. How many documents, how many studies, how many papers all total in your review?
There's a total of 14 studies in the paper. Out of those studies, you're looking at 30 treatment groups. And so what I mean by treatment group is, for example, if you have a study comparing one set to three sets, one treatment group does one set, the other treatment group does three sets. So you got two treatment groups in a study right there. And then I had what are called 92 effect sizes. And effect size is just a statistical way of looking at the magnitude of the strength gain and standardizing that among all the studies. And so basically I had 92 of those included in the analysis. So you might have one study where, you know, they may have tested the subjects on their strength improvement in squat and in bench press. And in the lat pull down, let's say, and that'd be three effect sizes right there. So
okay, all right. So when you looked at all of these and you extrapolated and overlaid and compared and did all of your statistical analysis, what was some of the things that surprised you about what you found out?
Well, the first thing is we definitely saw a significant when you compare multiple sets to single sets. Multiple sets were associated with about 46% greater strength gains than one set. So, and that was actually a very strong effect. I did what's called a sensitivity analysis where I would take one study out at a time just to see if I had one study that was like really strongly influencing my results, you know, like basically looking for outliers and things.
Right.
And no matter what study I took out, that effect still pretty much stayed the same. So, and it was a really strong effect. I mean, I had a lot of other variables that I included in my model that, you know, like the subject's training experience and whether they trained the upper or lower body and things like that. And none of those variables were very good predictors of strength gains. But the one really strong predictor of strength gains was whether they did multiple or single sets. And multiple sets were definitely superior according to my analysis.
Okay. Now, did any of these studies look at any of the high-intensity protocols that were promoted by, let's say, Mike Metzner, which, you know, he was a single set guy, or some of the super slow stuff that's been out there?
None of the studies involved super slow. All of the studies did compare a single set to multiple sets, though. And a single set to, I should say a single set to failure. So
single set to failure, were there rep ranges variables that were looked at as well?
I was going to include repetition range as a variable in my statistical model, but it turned out that all the studies used averaged an approximate rep range of 7 to 10 reps per set, and since they were all kind of about the same, I didn't include it in the statistical model because it's kind of a redundant variable.
Right,
If all your studies are about the same, then there's no point looking at it as a variable.
Right. If one study would have had a 15 rep range or a 20 rep range, which would have been significantly different, then it would have been noted, obviously. It would have been
Actually, then, you know, if that had been the case, I would have included that in the statistical model, you know, but that wasn't the case, so.
In the multiple set studies that you reviewed, what were the varying number of sets that they looked at?
The vast majority of studies compared used 2 to 3 sets per exercise. Actually, the vast majority were 3 sets. I mean, I would say the bulk of the studies compared 1 set to 3 sets. I mean, I had a few studies that used 4 to 6 sets per exercise. There were 2 studies specifically. And then I had one study that used 2 sets per exercise. Actually, a couple studies that used 2 sets per exercise. But other than that, the vast majority were 1 to 3 sets. So,
you know, I've thought about this in the past, and I'm thinking about it again as I'm sitting here. You know, we do things sometimes because someone tells us to. We never ask them why. This is really a question that I really should direct to my friend Randy Roach, who wrote Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, because he's a bodybuilding historian, actually a physical culture historian. I wonder who was the first person to say 3 sets. I mean, where did we get the 3 set criteria from? It seems to be it's been around for a long time, and everybody uses it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's a. I guess it's people like the number 3. I guess I don't know what it is. You know, there's obviously. you know, a lot of these studies that chose three sets per exercise, there was obviously no really, I would say, scientific reason. I mean, they just obviously had to use multiple sets, and they just decided on the number three. I actually mentioned that at the very end of the study, I mentioned that, that we really need more research looking at dose-response relationships. I mean, we've had way too many studies comparing one set to three sets. I mean, and I would say that that issue is pretty much solved. I mean,
the, yeah, the three sets is better than one, period.
Yeah, three sets is better than one. But we need studies comparing, you know, let's say one to three to six sets, you know, to kind of tease out, you know, what's the dose-response relationship? You know, what...
The point of diminishing returns.
Where's that point of diminishing returns? And there's very few studies like that. I tried to address that in the meta-analysis. You know, with there was a separate part of my analysis where I compared, where I categorized the studies into one set, two to three sets, and then four to six sets. But unfortunately, since I only had two studies that included four to six sets, I really didn't have the statistical power to really. Kind of tease out an effect. So,
you know what's also interesting? I think the odd number of sets seems to always hold true as well. Like personally, I do five sets of every exercise.
Oh, okay.
And I do a graduated weight. So, you know, I'll do one set for 15 reps, the next set for 12, the next set for 10, the next one for 8, and the next one for 6. And I continue to increase my weight so that I fail pretty much at the target number thereabouts, you know, and then if I continue to go on, then I will up that weight. But five, you know, it's an odd number. Three, it's an odd number. The only person that I can think of off the top of my head, and I'm by far not worthy of being able to say, well, this is, you know, this is all there is to it, because I don't know enough about the fathers of physical culture and who promoted what training protocols and so on. But other than Vince Gironda, I don't know anybody who's ever promoted an even number of multiple sets. Vince was an eight-set guy. He believed that eight sets was the magic number. I learned that both from reading a Vince Gironda book and then also from reading Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, that he had a big penchant that eight sets was what you needed to do. And he had an 8x8 routine, which was eight sets of eight reps, I believe. I stand to be corrected. I don't know if that's exactly the routine. But he had an 8x8 set routine. You look at powerlifters, they have a 5x5 set routine. Once again, we've got odd numbers of five, you know, five sets, three sets. It just baffles me why those. I wish I knew who was the first person was to promote, oh, you've got to do three sets to get results. And it had to start somewhere.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. I think it just becomes a matter of experimentation, you know, on the part of people lifting weights. And science, you know, in that area is usually slow to catch up.
Yeah. Now, you obviously had limited studies to look at for the higher than three set range. So you had some that looked at four and some that looked at six, right? You said two studies that looked at four and six?
Yeah. Two studies used four to six sets per exercise.
And did you, was the strength gains greater when you did more sets?
If you compare the one set, if you compare four to six sets just to one set, I didn't see a significant difference. But again, the caveat is I didn't have very good statistical power. If you look at my data, there was a difference in the effect sizes, but it was close to significant, but not quite. I had what's called a confidence interval, and a confidence interval just kind of tells you, basically, it's kind of what it says: is how confident am I in these results? And usually when your confidence interval does not include zero...
you're not very confident?
No, you are.
Oh, you
are confident.
Okay.
So, for example, when I compared two to three sets to one set, you know, I had a confidence interval of, you know, I'm going to give you the numbers 0.14 to 0.37. That does not include zero, and it was highly significant. And basically that's just, you know, how confident am I that there's a difference between one set and three sets? Now, if that includes zero, that means, well, you know, I'm not all that confident because this confidence interval does include zero, which means, you know, there's a chance there may be no difference. Now, when you look at confidence intervals, you want to kind of see how wide they are, and you know, if they do include zero, well, how much does it include on the negative end? Well, my confidence interval, when you compare one set to four to six sets, was minus 0.05. And the top number was 0.74, so it barely included zero. So really, that was more of an issue of just not having enough studies to detect a difference. I would say, in my opinion, 4 to 6 sets definitely is superior to 1 set. Again, it's just a limitation.
But is it better than 3 sets?
Now there's the problem I have. In my study, I saw no difference at all. But again, when you have all these studies that use 3 sets per exercise, and you only have a few studies that use
right.
4 to 6 sets, statistically, you just don't have enough data to
right.
actually say whether there's a difference or not. So
right.
you know,
there's a greater gravity just by fact of the massive number of studies that you have in one area as opposed to another.
Yes. And like I said, I mean, that's, you know, I wanted to do this study because I wanted to see if there was a dose response relationship. And unfortunately, you know, you have to deal with the data that you have. And you know, I just didn't have the data, enough data to compare 2 to 3 sets to 4 to 6 sets. So.
Now, are you a trainer? I mean, do you train with weights? Do you have what's your sports discipline?
I do strength train. I've actually been strength training since I was, I've been providing strength training for about 15 years now. I actually used to also personal train clients. I don't now, but I did for a while. I have a graduate degree in exercise physiology, another graduate degree in nutrition.
Where'd you graduate from?
My master's degree in exercise science is from Washington State University.
Cool.
And then my master's degree in nutrition is from University of Florida.
That's funny because I just interviewed for yesterday's show a couple people from the University of Washington about a study that they did on protein kinase A and its effect on longevity.
University of Washington is actually Washington State University, which is on the other side of the state, but actually I live pretty close to the University of Washington.
Oh, okay.
Actually, when I started school, I attended school there at first, but I ended up transferring.
So do you adhere to a 3-set protocol for your own personal training?
I kind of vary. Sometimes in my training where I just did 2 sets per exercise, but I did a lot of different exercises per muscle group, for example. But I definitely do multiple sets per exercise. I have that tendency to stick around 3 as well. I have no other reason to other than, you know, just kind of maybe tradition and that's kind of what the data says right now, but again, that's because that's what the majority of studies have.
I know, it's amazing how we all adhere to that three set rule, so many of us do.
All right,
look, let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll talk more with Jim Krieger about the results of his study, single versus multiple sets of resistance exercise. You're listening to Superhuman Radio, we'll be right back.
Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio forum is hosted. Visit anabolicminds.com today and get into the action. Anabolicminds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? Are you bored at work? Listen to the Superhuman Channel daily. Catch older episodes of Superhuman Radio, plus listen to Superhuman Radio live every day at 1 p.m. Pacific.
Get strong. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
I did it again, baby.
Yeah!
The ladies are gonna love you.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest is Jim Krieger from Journal of Pure Power. You can visit their website at jopp.us. You know, Jim, there's an old adage that I was told many, many years ago, and I think it applies to this whole, you know, why people do three sets and so on and so forth. I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but a woman is preparing dinner for her family. She's making a roast, and she takes the roast out of the refrigerator and cuts about a third of it off and throws it in the trash. And her husband goes, "Why did you just do that?" And she goes, "You know, I don't know. My mother always did it that way." So she calls her mother and she says, "Mom, when you made a roast, you always cut that back one third off and threw it away. Why did you do it?" She says, "You know, I don't know. Grandma used to do it that way." And so they both called the grandmother and got on the phone and they said, "Grandma, when you used to make a roast, you used to cut that back one third off and throw it away. Why did you do that?" She says, "Because my pan was too small." You know, and I think that really is, you know, a lot of us do things because we see other people doing it. But we never question, is this the best way to do it?
Definitely. There's definitely strong influence of tradition, you know, in so many, I mean, not just training, but so many aspects of life that people will follow a certain tradition without ever really questioning, you know, why they're doing it.
Yeah, so ultimately, from what you can gather, again, and it's important to say that the research was limited on more than three sets.
Yeah.
But what you could gather, that, you know, three sets was better at one than one, especially in that 7 to 10 rep range. Would that be a fair summary statement?
Yes, definitely. And I would also argue that, because I basically that dose response model that I did where I compared the 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 6, you know, that was just kind of a separate part of the study. There was another part of the study where I just compared multiple sets to single sets, and multiple sets definitely were better, you know, whether it was, you know, basically 2 to 6 sets were definitely, you know, when you compile all the data together, 2 to 6 sets were better than one set.
At building strength.
Yes.
And if your goal is strength, which it should be, I know that people want to have bigger muscles, but I've always said, would you rather be able to look like you can deadlift 500 pounds or actually deadlift 500 pounds? There's a big difference because there's a lot of guys out there who look really big, but they don't, their strength is not in line with their size. And so if your goal is strength, which it should be, in my opinion, multiple sets is a better way to go. Now, you've published another study you told me about back in 2006, you said, one on nutrition, right?
Yes, actually. It was another meta-analysis, actually. It was actually on diet. I looked at, for people who are on weight loss diets, when you vary protein and carbohydrate intake, how does that affect weight loss and fat loss?
When caloric ratios were the same, in other words, with the same amount of calories, just varying the ratio of protein and carbohydrates.
So basically, I included basically as many weight loss studies as I could. And one of the criteria was the subjects actually had to be in a caloric deficit, so they had to actually be dieting. And caloric intake was one of the variables I actually included in the statistical model so I could control for that. So I wanted to see, if you keep caloric intake the same and you, let's say, move protein intake up and bring carbohydrate intake down or vice versa, how does that affect weight loss?
How many studies did you have in your analysis?
In that analysis, I had quite a few. I had 87 studies.
I would have to imagine, because there's so much a greater mainstream interest in losing, fat, getting leaner. I would have to imagine that there were a lot more studies. The results. So what did you find out?
Basically, I found that when you decrease carbohydrate intake to a point below, let's say, around 40% of energy, that was associated with greater weight loss, approximately, on average, 1.74 kilograms. So the other thing that I found was that protein intake was, if you ate more than the RDA, and in my study, the cutoff was 1.05 grams per kilogram. So if you ate more than 1.05 grams per kilogram, you retained more fat-free mass during weight loss than if you ate less protein than that.
Now, wait. The RDA is, for a 2,500-calorie day, is 60 grams of protein.
Yeah. The RDA is 0.8 grams per kilogram of body weight.
Okay. So for a 22-pound man, it would be basically 80 grams of protein.
Yeah. But I found that, if you had your protein intake basically over 1 gram per kilogram, that was associated with better fat-free mass retention.
Was there any point of diminishing returns on the protein? Because, so many of us believe that if we're not eating, two grams or more per kilogram, that we're not really doing what we need to do. Was there any point of diminishing returns in the protein intake side of it?
I've got the paper pulled up on
excellent.
My computer right now.
Excellent.
And let me look at the data, because it's been so long since I've done this paper. I basically had divided protein intake into four categories. And the top two categories, weren't basically, I didn't really see I didn't really see much of a difference between, let's say, my categories were 0.7 grams per kilogram, 1.05 grams per kilogram, 1.2 grams per kilogram, and then obviously anything above 1.2. Now, comparing that, 1.05 to 1.2 and then over 1.2 categories,
right.
There really wasn't much of a difference. But again, you have an issue of statistical power. There's only so many studies
that look at that high of, because, there's not many studies out there that look at what we would consider in the sports environment adequate, which is more like 2 grams per kilogram.
Yeah, there were very few studies in that analysis that would, have 2, 3, 4, really high protein intakes. So,
yeah.
But there definitely was a strong effect. When you got over 1 gram per kilogram, there was definitely a strong effect there. So, kind of the general gist from that is you definitely want more protein than the RDA, if you're dieting and you want to maintain your fat-free mass. So.
Yeah, it always amazes me, because we are an agriculturally driven society. And what I mean by that is that the dollars in this country, aside from the pharmaceutical industry, come from the large companies that prosper on agriculture, like Arthur Daniels, Midland, and so on and so forth. And when you look at the pyramid, what they suggest, you know, the for a 2,000 calorie a day diet, for lack of better terms, you're supposed to be consuming 375 to 400 grams of carbohydrates and only 60 grams of protein. And that is so contrary to the way we were genetically predisposed to eat. If you look at the research authored by Dr. Lauren Cordain and his research about Paleolithic human beings who really consumed more fat than protein, but predominantly animal fat and protein and very, very little in the way of carbohydrates, you know, the reason that we're being told that we should be eating all these carbs and so little protein is not because it's healthier for us. It's because there are vested interests in you consuming as much grain and corn as they can possibly grow. And, you know, and when you look at research like this, oh, wow, people who eat hypocaloric, you know, diets, when there's a shift, a substrate shift in a, you know, a higher protein intake and lower carbohydrate intake, they lose a lot more fat. Well, guess what? Forget about diets. If people would get wise and start eating high protein, high healthy fat, very low carbohydrate diets, you'd never put the fat on in the first place. So let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll pick up with Jim Krieger. And we'll talk more about this nutrition study that he published also. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. US Cell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Have you been on SuperhumanRadio.com lately? Lots of free supplements, great information, and older episodes of Superhuman Radio are all available. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com today.
Bill Muscle, where that is Superhuman Radio.
You know, I just got an email from a Superhuman Radio listener in New York named Yao, and he's a big fan of the show. He always sends me these wonderful emails about the impact that the show has had on his life and his health. And I just got an email from him. It was copied to the owner of US Wellness Meats. It was actually copied to me and sent to the owner of uswellnessmeats.com. Yao says, I just received your shipment today. I'm sitting at the table with my 80-year-old auntie, and we're having the filet mignons. My goodness, in caps. I think it's the best cut of filet I've ever had. Mind you, I'm a steak guy, and I've tried every major steakhouse in New York City. This puts Peter Luger's to shame. If any of you know what Peter Luger's, Peter Luger's is the premier steakhouse in New York. They age their beef, and people pay $50, $60, $70, $80 for a steak at Peter Luger's. You have to get on the waiting list and be on a waiting list for a month just to get a reservation there. And just like Peter Luger's, U.S. Wellness Meats ages their meat before they ship it. So I first of all want to thank Al for being a fan of the show and trying U.S. Wellness Meats. And I'm telling you, anybody out there who's eating beef, you can buy grass-fed, hormone-free antibiotic-free meat from uswellnessmeats.com, and I promise you, you won't be dissatisfied. And they ship, you get the order the next day, right to your door, ready to go. And the meat is fantastic, and it's so healthy. It's full of conjugated linoleic acid, and it has the same ratios of omega-6 to omega-3 as fish does. So get off the conventional beef wagon, stop eating sick animals, and start eating the beef that our ancestors ate and the reason that they didn't need 16 pills to get past 40 years old. So check out uswellnessmeats.com. Let them know about that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. They have a bunch of different packages. They have one package that's a starter package for $75, and you get New York strips and petite sirloins and ground beef and so on and so forth. Check them out, uswellnessmeats.com. Anyway, I had to do that, John. I'm sorry for the shameful pimping here, but I'm so proud of some of my sponsors because of the good products that they produce. And whenever I get an email like that from a listener of the show, I've got to read it on the air. Anyway, okay, so let's talk a little bit more about the nutritional study that we were discussing. So the reality is that when people eat below 40% of their energy intake as carbohydrates, did they look at the type of carbs at all?
No, it was basically I just looked at just energy intake from carbohydrate period, because again, when you're dealing with, you know, 87 studies, you can't really narrow it down that much.
Yeah.
As far as the type of carbohydrate. You know, it's just, you know, I just categorized the data and basically less than approximately 40% energy was the cutoff point for carbohydrate as far as the, what I had done is I did two analyses. I did one where I separated carbohydrate intake into quartiles. And then when I saw an effect of the lowest quartile versus the other three, then I just divided it. I just took the lowest quartile and just compare it and clumped the other three together. And that 40% was the cutoff point. So.
And obviously the intake of 1 gram of protein per half a gram of protein per kilogram, right?
1 gram per kilogram.
One gram per kilogram. That was the magic in retaining lean body mass while dieting.
It was 1.05 was the cutoff.
Was there any muscle loss noted, or did they maintain all their lean body mass at that ratio?
No, they still lost fat-free mass. We should make the distinction that fat-free mass is not necessarily the same as muscle.
Right, it's bone, it's water.
It's water. I mean, you can actually gain muscle tissue but lose fat-free mass, if you lose some water, body water. One of the limitations of body composition methods is, most models are two-compartment models, which they basically just separate the body into fat and fat-free mass, and that's kind of what I looked at with body composition. But there was definitely better fat-free mass retention with the higher protein intake.
Let me ask you a question about doing these types of meta-analysis. How long have you been doing these types of meta-analysis?
I've just done the two that we've talked about. I've always been kind of fascinated by statistics,
uh-huh.
and I've always been attracted to meta-analyses.
Where did you learn? I mean, obviously, there's got to be a right way to do these and a wrong way to do them. Where did you learn to do them?
Well, what happened was the first thing that kind of stimulated my mind about doing a meta-analysis with the nutrition one was, there were all these studies coming out on low-carbohydrate diets, and some showed greater weight loss and some didn't. When you have a lot of data and things aren't really consistent, sometimes a meta-analysis can actually kind of help you kind of tease out what the bottom line is. So I had the idea to do this meta-analysis and I went to my professor with the idea for the project and he thought it was a really good idea. I originally had looked at, there's actually a strength training meta-analysis that was published back in, I want to say, 2004 in Medicine and Science and Sports and Exercise by Matthew Rhea. And I went to the statistician on my committee with that paper, and I said, well, should we do it this way? And my statistician was like, no, this is not a very good way to do it. He goes, you should do it this way instead. The fancy term is basically like hierarchical random effects meta regression is really what it's called, and it's a really fancy way of doing statistics. So I kind of dug into the literature about this type of statistical model and read a lot of papers on it, I learned a ton about statistics, in the process of doing this, and so I ended up, doing that paper, and we got it.
How long did it take you to do the paper itself once you understood what the statistical analysis procedure was?
It took me about 6 months to do that paper, but I mean, I was working probably 8 to 10 hours a day on it because the bulk of it actually was just digging up all the articles. I mean, I had to go, especially with diet. I mean, I don't know. I can't even remember how many articles I actually went through. I think it actually says here in the paper. First, you do your keyword searches and I come up with, over 3,000 articles, and I got to go through all those, all the abstracts and narrow them down from there. And then I get those narrowed down. Then I actually have to go get the papers from the library. And if they aren't at the library, I got to have the library, order them for me. That was a really long process. I ended up with about almost 800 articles, and
wow.
I had to go through those 800, and only 87 out of those 800 were included. So it was a lot of work.
That's amazing. Did it take you an equal amount of time? Well, no, you had far fewer articles and documents to go through for this last one on the number of sets.
Yeah, the strength training one did not take nearly as long. And it was easier to do the searches because basically I was only including studies that compared single sets to multiple sets.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So it was easy to track down those papers and there wasn't a huge body of literature that I had to go through. So that paper didn't take nearly as long. And the other thing is that paper didn't take as long because I'd already done this type of analysis before. It's like I had already, I actually had to write my own, you know, the statistical software I used, I had to write my own custom functions and everything to actually do all this analysis, and that was another thing that took a long time. But since I already had that all, I didn't have to, you know, the second paper was a much easier paper to do because I already kind of had all that done.
We're coming to the end of the show here. If people want to read more, you write articles for Journal of Pure Power, correct?
Yes, Journal of Pure Power. What we do is actually we take scientific articles that deal with strength training and power training and basically athletic performance, and we basically present them in a manner that's friendly to the layperson. And usually it's published quarterly, and we have 18 articles per issue. And each article deals with a separate study. That's about it.
What is the subscription cost to Journal of Pure Power?
A subscription cost, actually, I'll have to look at the website here
okay.
real quick.
Well, I've got the website here as well. I'm going to look, see here, okay. Subscribe. Okay, so let's see what it says here. Blah, blah, da, 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 da. Click here if you are interested in free access. There's actually free access to JOPP, I guess, for certain people. The subscription rate is actually on sale right now. And this is their stimulus, their bailout package, $23.96 for a subscription for 2009. So it's like $24 a year, it looks like, right?
Yeah.
That sound
yeah.
right? Yeah. Yeah, excellent. All right, so people can go to JOPP.us to learn more about the Journal of Pure Power. And learn more about the articles that they write about strength, and read some of the other things that Jim is working on. Jim, thanks so much for taking the time to be on Superhuman Radio today, man.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And like you said, keep doing three sets. Don't ask why, just do it. That's it, you know. And okay. All right, well, listen, Jim. Thanks so much for being on the show, and we'll have you back on. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
And I will see everybody tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio. So see you then.